This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده القرآن وجعله معجزة باقية للبلاء وسقم الساعة.
of the preservation of our scholars. And by the tawfiq of Allah, because when Allah said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that includes the preservation of the Arabic language because it's an essential aspect. The Arabic language has been preserved. And it's there for whoever wants it. If you want dunya, then learn English. But if you want akhirah, learn Arabic. Because it is the language that literally opens up a whole world of meaning that is inaccessible in the English language. And I'm saying that as somebody who is bilingual, who reads the Quran in Arabic and reads English. The Quran is not the Quran in English. It cannot be called the Quran in English. And this is not a kind of, you know, a boasting of the scholars of the past. No, part of the i'jaz of the Quran is the Arabic language itself. And it is the language of revelation. So we must learn the language of the book itself. And this includes Arabs who go through 12 years of high school and they can't, you know, one of the ulama, I think it was Muhammad ibn Hussein, said this, khassat hadhihi al-umma bi thalath, al-ansab, wal-isnad, wal-i'rab. This ummah has been given three special things. Knowledge of the ansab, genealogy, the knowledge of the isnad, لولا سند لقال من شاء ما شاء, as Ibn al-Mubarak said, if it wasn't for the senad of this ummah, then he would have said whatever he wanted to say, whoever wanted to say it. So we have the senad, which is the unbroken chain of transmission, which the Quran exists to this day in an unbroken chain of transmission to the Messenger of Allah, to Jibreel alayhi salam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are Muslims who memorize the Quran with a senad, unbroken chain, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this exists to our day. It's a miracle of the Quran that we have an absolute senad of unbroken chain of transmitters of the Quran, both mushafahatan and mushafahatan wa kitabatan, by articulation and by writing. It's unbroken. Rasm al-Uthmani, all of this has been preserved. So learning the Arabic language. Now the next aspect is, and this does not mean if you don't know Arabic, you can't read the meanings of the Quran. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm saying it's a crutch. And lame people use crutches. But the beauty of it is you can throw away your crutches because the Arabic language is learnable. I mean, Maurice Boukair was 50 years old when he learned the Arabic language. A French scientist who just wanted to read the Quran in its original language. 52 years old. We have Muslims that speak English better than the Queen. They speak English better than the Queen. Why? Why is that? People grow up in the Swat Valley and they speak Queen's English. Well, we want to speak the King's language. Not the Queen's English, we want to speak the King's Arabic, which is the language of Allah, Malik al-Muluk, the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If we want rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, Allah has given us the formula. When the Quran is recited, listen to it. Now the word in Arabic here, istama'u, is from an eighth form verb, is istama'a, which is what is, it's called bab al-mutawa', which means it's a reflexive. It goes back into the self. In other words, it's not simply a hearing. It is an internalization of the hearing. It's a hearkening. If we say in the first form, sami'a, it means we hear, like sami'tu. In Mauritania, they always say sami', like sami', like sami'. They always ask me, did you hear that? Did you hear? Like here, they used to say, I heard that. Right? Now, but that's not what istama' it means. That is what sami'a means. Istama' means to internalize it. So you not only hear the word, you internalize it. You take it into the self. You allow it to go through the ear and into the heart where it's understood and comprehended. وَأَنْسِتُ. And then once it enters into the heart, there has to be silence and stillness. There has to be silence and stillness. If you do not still the heart from the chatter of the world, then you cannot understand and penetrate the meanings of the Book of Allah. لَا يَمُسُهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَّهَرُونَ. They only touch it, the purified ones. The purified ones, mutahharun, which is a passive form. They are purified by their ikhlas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah purifies them. They only have access, intimate access to it, those who are purified. And so this Quran has to be internalized. There has to be this istima'a. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, in order that you are shown rahmah. Now, one of the things that I think is a sign of the sickness of our ummah is that we no longer listen to the Quran. In other words, in our souqs, the Quran now is played like background music. You will hear the A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. You will hear Quran now in the souqs of all the Muslim countries. You will hear the Quran even in the souq. And if you hear it here, then tell the people to stop playing it. Because the souq is not the place for Quran. In fact, it's makruh to recite the Quran in the souq. Except for Talib Ilm, who's doing Muraja'ah. And you can look at the books of fiqh. I'm not making that up. And I was once trying to do a transaction, and somebody had a CD of Quran that he was trying to sell, and I asked him, please turn it off, and he said, why? And I said, because Allah says, إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. If you hear the Quran, listen to it and be silent. And I can't make a business transaction if you've got Quran playing. And he said, is it wajib? See, this is a sickness. This is a sickness. It means there's a deep loss of adab. And this is what's happened in our ummah. We have lost adab to the book of Allah. I'll close it up now. We've lost adab to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, from the adab of the book of Allah is that you listen to it when it's recited. And you're silent. Now, in the Quran it says, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتُمُ فَوْقَ صَوْتَ النَّبِي. Don't raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet. The ulama, many of them said, it includes when hadith is being recited. Now, there's a principle in tafsir, مَفْهُمْ الْأَوْلَى, which is the even more strong, like when Allah says, don't say to your parents, oof, that's the least thing you can do. It obviously means not hitting them or going down. If we're commanded to be silent when the Prophet ﷺ is speaking, then what is the commandment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is speaking, which is the kalam of Allah, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we hear the book of Allah, we should go silent. If you don't understand it, then be silent anyway. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, in order that you'll be shown rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an is the unending miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the book that enriches those who have no wealth. It dignifies those who are abased and subjugated. It gives nourishment to those who are spiritually malnourished. It is a book that brings light and life to the dead and the blind. Summun bukmun umyun fahum la yubsirun. Allah says about them, they are blind, deaf and dumb, and they do not see. They're deaf, they can't hear. And they can't speak, they can't articulate, and they can't see. And the Muslim is somebody who is listening attentively to the signs of Allah, seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the signs are both things that we see with the eyes, as-sam'a wal-basar wal-fu'ad. We see with the eyes, we hear with the ears, and we understand in our hearts. The Muslims are people of intellect. They're not people of stupidity and idiocy. Muslims are people of intellect. And the Quran is a book that demands deep thought. It is not a book for simplistic, it absolutely demands from us that we think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ نَقْفِفَ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغْهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ. We thrust this Qur'an against falsehood and all forms of truth against falsehood, and it is overcome. Now there's a modern translation that says, and it smashes out their brains, which that's a gross mistranslation of Qur'an, because damagha, although in its one of the meanings is isabat al-dimagh, to hit, strike the brain. That striking does not mean smashing it physically out, which is a way that a lot of modern Muslims would like to finish arguments, by smashing out their opponent's brains. No, we are people of Burhan, and the proof is, if you read the ayahs that follow that verse, you will see that they all asking about, do you think there's more than one God in creation? Haven't you looked at the heavens and the earth? It's using intellectual proofs to show these people. In other words, yadmughuhu means that it overwhelms their intellect until they have to admit that it is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims have never been afraid of open debate and open discourse. The Muslims have never been afraid of open debate and open discourse. Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he debated the atheists in the masjids. He debated people that didn't believe in the Ba'ath. this is what the Muslims, because they were not afraid of any forms of falsehood because they had the truth. But because we're so distant from the Book of Allah, we actually fear now all of this falsehood that is out there. Wallahi idha ja'a al-haq zahaq al-batil, inna al-batil kana zahuqa. If the truth comes, falsehood vanishes. Falsehood is vanishing. The Prophet, when Sayyidina Ali, he said, "Fitnun ka qat'a layl al-mudlim." There are afflictions like a dark black night. And then Ali karamallahu wajhahu radiyallahu anhu said, "Mal khalasu yawma idhin ya Rasulullah?" What is the way out on that day? He said, "Kitab Allah, the Book of Allah. Fihi naba'u ma qabrukum wa khabru ma ba'dukum wa hukmu ma baynukum." It has the information of those who went before, news about those who will come after, and it is a judgment between you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man da'a ilayhi hudiya ila sirat al-mustaqim." Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'ir al-muslimin. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. If I understood it right, was as from Arabic speaking people, because an Arab by definition is somebody who speaks Arabic, and the word in fact comes from a word which means to articulate clearly. A'raba ya'ribu means to articulate clearly. And some call al-arab ayn is like rabb al-ayn, things like that. And some say it comes from ya'rub, which is one of the fathers of Arabic. But it's those who articulate clearly, which means the vast majority of people now claiming to be Arab are not really Arab. In fact, if the Sahaba heard them, I think they would just shake their heads and say, "Are these, what kind of language is this? Huh? Bol lak eh, aizin al lak haga." They would just say, what was that? Ektub bi alami. That means in Arabic, I write with pain. So they, you know, they really wouldn't understand, I don't think. I mean, they heard Suhaib al-Rumi once saying, "Ya Nas, Ya Nas." And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Ma bada Suhaib, yunadi al-Nas." What's wrong with Suhaib? He's calling the people. And he said, no, he has a boy named Yahnas. But Suhaib had the ujma in his tongue, so he didn't pronounce the ha very strongly. I would say that the way that we go back to the Qur'an is taking the minhaj of the Salaf people. The minhaj of the Salaf was to read the Qur'an in 30 days. This was the minhaj of the Salaf. The Qur'an was divided into 30 juz, 60 hizb, 30 juz. The hizb was 60 to be recited at Fajr and Maghrib. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to read. And most people spend more time in the bathroom doing their toiletries than that takes, really. I mean, just to put our priorities straight. Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, who is oftentimes the most generous in terms of his leniency, said that the least amount that we can recite the Qur'an is twice a year. That it must be recited at least twice a year. The Prophet ﷺ, there's hadith that has weakness that Ar-Razi mentions, that says, "Man ta'adda arba'ina faqad jatha." The one that has gone past 40 days and hasn't completed the Qur'an has been rude to the Qur'an. The Qur'an must be read, but it has to be read with deliberation. We know that the Sahaba did not memorize the Qur'an until they were acting according to it. And this will increase us in our knowledge. "Man amila bima alima awrathahu Allahu ilma ma lam ya'lam." Whoever acts according to what he knows, Allah will increase him in his knowledge. So there's increase by acting according to what we know. The Arabic language, the Quranic Arabic, although there are deep intricacies and subtleties in the Quranic Arabic, by and large, the Quranic Arabic is not a complicated Arabic. It is mubeen. The hadith are actually more difficult to read than much of the Qur'an. But the Qur'an must be read with commentary. And the commentary is something that, this is one of the problems of the modern age, is that people are literally reading the Qur'an, misunderstanding. There's people reading English translations and misunderstanding because the translator misunderstood it. And there's misunderstandings in the translations. And also translations only give one aspect. The Qur'an oftentimes have many different aspects. So the Qur'anic Arabic, there's a beautiful vocabulary that is not extensive, that can be learned very quickly. I have a class that has been working with me 2 hours a week for about 3.5 almost 4 years. And they all of them were ajam when they came in, and now they're reading the Quran with a considerable amount of understanding. They can understand it with a dictionary, using, relying on a dictionary for some words. And this shows you just that a small amount of time, a massive amount can be gained. Now, Arabs already have a considerable jump on everybody else, because there's a great deal of the Quranic Arabic that they still can understand, even for a person on the street. My friend Abdullah Omar in Jeddah told me, he was in Egypt once, and he speaks Fusha Arabic, and he got in a taxi and he said, أريد أن أذهب إلى السوق من فضلك حتى أشتري بعض الأغراض. And the man said, صدق الله العظيم. So, now, Egyptian taxi drivers are notorious for being like what they call خفيف الدم. So I don't know if he was just not understanding it was Quran, or he was making fun of my friend. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. لَيَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Let not one people mock another people, perhaps they're better than them. So the most beautiful tafsir that we have is the Jalalain, for a quick understanding of the Qur'an. It's in a remarkable work with, and I also recommend Tafsir li'Ulum al-Tanzil by Ibn Juzay al-Kalbi, which is also concise and just brilliant in what it contains. And then you move on to the bigger tafsirs. But we should identify resources. And the other thing, I wanted to talk about this, but again, I'm just not, I need to be more structured. But I wanted to talk about our children and giving our children the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the Yawm al-Qiyamah that the parents who give the Quran to their children will be given crowns that radiate like suns. Yutawiju. Tijan, Talma'u Kashams. I mean, subhanAllah. I don't understand how we can give our children chemistry and biology and physics. And I mean, it's just, they're not going to be tested about that stuff on Yawm al-Qiyamah, which is not to to diminish the importance of those sciences. I'm not. But we need to get our priorities right. And our priority above and beyond everything should be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, and I'm saying this and making an oath by Allah, our ulama, who were the most brilliant scientists and scholars that the world has ever known, I mean, way beyond the people now who don't even know how to take care of themselves. I mean, scientists are uninspiring individuals, by and large. It's not all of them, but a lot of them. They look at these Western scientists. They don't even know how to send it to me on email. They don't even want to talk to people anymore. Send it to me on email. But these ulama, all of them, what they share in common is that they memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they learn the language of the Arabs. And I believe personally that ayah in the Quran is absolutely literal in its meaning, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, in order that you use your intellects, that you learn to use your intellects. When Allah tells us the reason why we're all scattered and separated, He says, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, because there are people that don't use their intellects. تَحْسِبُهُمْ جَمْعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. You think that they're united, their hearts are separate because they don't use their intellects. We need to begin using our intellects, raise up to the level of this deen. And Arabic is a means, it's a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool, but it's a powerful tool that empowers the intellect to certain types of understandings that are not available to people through other linguistic mediums. JazakAllah khairan, wa salaam alaykum.